So we're preparing our hearts to spend time together in God's Word. If you've put it away, I'd go ahead and encourage you to reach for that worship bulletin once again. If your neighbor or somebody else has taken that away from you somehow, go ahead and wrestle it right back, and you tell them, I need to take sermon notes tonight, because God has a word for me. So if you would, go ahead and reach for your worship bulletin and turn back to the sermon notes page, and invite you just to make yourself available to what God might sit on your heart tonight. As we move one step closer to our word, I'd like to maybe just take this time to invite you to pray with me. Would you do that with me, please? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here tonight in your house of worship and praise, to be fed by your word, and very shortly, by the sacrament of your holy altar, the body and blood of Christ, our Savior, for the forgiveness of all of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. Tonight, Lord, you alone know all the things that we've encountered or run into this week, things we may have seen coming, and maybe even those things that we were blindsided by, and maybe we find ourselves still struggling or reeling because of those things. And try as we may, maybe they've come in with us tonight. And that's okay. You welcome us exactly where we're at, and you take us as we are, and you invite us to leave with the new life you give us through the working of your Holy Spirit and your Word. So we pray, Lord, that you would help us to make ourselves available to what you would share with us tonight, what you would lay on our hearts, and as you see fit this week to invite us to share what we've learned, help us to do that in a way that pleases you and connects someone else with Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Tonight, by a show of hands, let's make this an interactive sermon to kick things off. How many, by a show of hands, would agree with the following statement? Change is tough. Yeah, change is tough. Change is not always a comfortable thing. Back home in my home state of Nebraska, my family, we found this to be true, especially with our livestock, with the cows and the pigs and the sheep. Change is not easy for anyone, anything. So over the years, there'd be times where we would have to move various livestock from one pen to another, one pasture to another, one barn to another, and so on. And wouldn't you know, that's tough. Anybody have experience working with livestock? Yeah? Herding kids, parents, family members? Yeah, okay. All right. You should change the pictures out real quick. Here we go. It's hard. And for as hard as it is to get livestock like cows and pigs and sheep to move from one pen to another, one pasture to another, one barn to another, it is even tougher to get them to stay put. And for those of you who worked with livestock, you can probably agree with that statement. For a number of different reasons, there would come a point where we would have to move the livestock from one pen to another, one barn to another, one pasture to another. That could be for reasons of better resources. Maybe the resources in one pen were exhausted. Maybe there was a better water supply. Maybe there was more shade and rest area. Maybe it was because of those good old Midwest storms that like to kick up with all kinds of fun stuff like tornadoes and wind and hail and other flying debris. And then in the winter, of course, we know what that looks like too, don't we? The snowflakes, which we might welcome on a hot July day. But the point is this, try as we may to move them from one place to another, even for their betterment, they have a hard time staying put. These were a couple of pictures I took looking out from our front door out over the expanding hillside and so forth a couple seasons ago. This escapee, I don't know if you can pick this up from the picture, but that cow is not supposed to be walking down the center of the road. Even if our neighbor put up the sign that said cow crossing, it shouldn't be there. And I don't know if you can pick that up on the top left picture, but see the buddies? Yeah, they're on the other side of the fence, where this cow is supposed to be. And when I yell out the door, hey, guess what I get in response? Who, me? Well, I'm not supposed to be in the middle of the road? You see, at some point, livestock will do everything they can to plow through a fence, go through a gate, go over the hill, go through the trees, walk past a neighbor's house, and enter the busy traffic of Nebraska. Okay, well, it's not busy. But you get the point. Why do you think they do that? In a lot of ways, it's a really simple answer. Because they're not familiar with the new field, the new pen, the new pasture, the new barn. As good and as enriching as that will be for their lives, they don't want to go because they're not comfortable with it. They're not familiar with it. So oftentimes when we would go, search and rescue, Cordy edition, back on the family farm, to find these lost cows, sheep, or pigs, we oftentimes found them in an all too similar place that looked something like this. They were alone. They were vulnerable, and they were exposed. And they were willing to endure that because it was familiar and it was comfortable. Friends, sometimes we as Christians struggle with that as well, don't we? With the comfortable, the familiar, and so forth. There's times in our lives where God is desiring to move us to a new place, a new attitude, a new lifestyle, a new decision-making process, something that will conform us more to the likeness of Jesus Christ and His Word. But so oftentimes, I find, at least for myself, and maybe you do too, I default to what's comfortable and what's familiar. And the life that God is calling me to go towards, I struggle to go there with Him, or maybe I go back here to where I was. And I wonder if maybe you found yourself in a similar situation as well, or a place, struggling with the familiar and the all too comfortable. Tonight, as we're continuing with our sermon series, Culture Shock, we find that these Colossian Christians, these new Christians, are finding themselves on the receiving end of what we've come to coin here in worship and at praise as culture shock. And what is that? It's the worldly pressures to conform more to the cultural norms and the to-do lists of today, as opposed to being conformed to Jesus Christ and His Word. Our first week, you might remember this, and for those of you who haven't been able to be with us, and if you want to take a couple notes in this, or if you'd like to go to our website and revisit some of these sermons so you can join us in the journey, I encourage you to do that. But you might recall in the first week, we talked about so oftentimes these Colossian Christians, these new Christians, you and me, we find ourselves at a tension point. And one of the points we find ourselves at is this: to work for Jesus and His kingdom and the growth and spread of His gospel, or the growth of my kingdom based on my agenda and what I see fit for my life. The next week, you might recall, we went a little bit further into the book of Colossians, the second chapter, and we posed a question. We threw the question on the table of, where have your feet been? Remember that? Some of you might not care to answer that today because I know it's hot outside and, well, we don't always have time to change our socks, do we? But we pose the question of where have your feet been? In a lot of ways, the Apostle Paul was asking that question to these early Christians because he recognized as they're trying to live their lives for Jesus, they run into things at work and in their home and their marketplace, and the list goes on, and it rolls them like a wave in the ocean. And when you find yourself coming up for air, the question is, where do your feet take you in that moment? Back to the cross and back to the open arms of Jesus to help you work through that? Or some kind of cultural quick fix? Like seawater that only makes you thirstier after you drink it. Well, then the next week and last week, we talked about these factions, these mentalities, these groups that kind of rolled into this town of Colossae, which is modern-day Turkey. And we talked about how they kind of set before the people there who were trying to live for Jesus this build-it-yourself mentality. You remember that from last week? This build-it-yourself mentality. In other words, you can manufacture your own source of happiness. You can build your own hope. You can work your way into heaven. All you got to do is work, 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 and balance all the bad stuff with some good stuff. But we talked about this last week, and we recognize that that is impossible for you and for me. There is not enough good we can do to wipe out all the mess in our lives. And what we as Christians have that no other world religion can boast is that we have a Savior named Jesus Christ who has died and risen again. And what He's done on the cross and the empty tomb, He gives to you and to me as a free gift. Gospel of salvation by grace through faith. We've talked about all these things as we've talked about culture shock for the Colossians and for you and for me today living in Fort Wayne, Indiana, 2016, and wherever it is we might go. And tonight we come to our fourth facet of culture shock. And the facet of culture shock, if you maybe haven't picked up on it already, is this: to stay and to live and to operate and to function in the new life Jesus Christ has drawn us into through the working of the Holy Spirit and the Word, as opposed to going back to old, familiar, default habits that are spiritually toxic for our new life in Jesus Christ. St. Paul shares this with us, and just so the Colossians have a sense of, well, what does the old, nasty, ugly, spiritually toxic old life look like? What does that look like for the Colossians? What's that look like for you and for me today? St. Paul paints us a picture, Colossians 3, 5 to 9. Let me share this with you. Paul says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices." You see, Paul knows exactly what to write because, most importantly, God gets it. And God, through the work in the Holy Spirit, lays it upon Paul's heart to share this with the Colossians and with you and me tonight. To talk more about this pull back to the familiar and the comfortable, that pulls us away from the life God is calling us to live in Jesus Christ. With that said, let me ask you this question tonight. Tonight, where do you see the Holy Spirit challenging, or feel the Holy Spirit challenging you to step away from old, familiar, comfortable, and toxic habits and behaviors in order to live the new life in Jesus Christ that God is calling us to live? Where is the Holy Spirit challenging you to step away from the old life, the old ways, old habits, old attitudes, to live the new life in Jesus Christ? Now, I get it. You know, as I was reading Scripture and I was preparing for this, and maybe as the Colossians are reading this, maybe as you're reading this, you're thinking, well, that's great. You painted me an ugly picture of not what to do or what not to do. So what does this new life in Jesus Christ look like? What does that look like? What should I be looking for? Paul picks that up too, Colossians 3, 12 to 14. Let me share this with you. And if you need to underline these in our second reading to take that home to help you have some kind of reflection tool, go ahead and do that. But Paul writes this: this is the new life. This is what it looks like. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." And just like with the previous list, this is by no means an exhaustive list, but I think we start to get a picture. And at least for me, the picture starts to look something like this: leave this and live this. Leave this. Leave the sexual immorality. Leave behind the impurity and the lust. Leave behind the evil desires. Leave aside the greed and idolatry. Put away the anger, the rage, the malice, the slander, the filthy language, the lying, and instead leave that behind in the old, former, pasture, pen, barn, wherever it is, and live over here in the new life in Jesus Christ, with which looks like compassion. It looks like kindness and humility. It looks like gentleness and patience. It looks like forgiveness. It looks like love. It looks like daily renewal in Jesus Christ. Leave this and live this. And I can't help but wonder if some of you are maybe reading that and maybe kind of spiritually processing that and digesting that without trying to get too much spiritual heartburn tonight. I mean, after all, we talked about the livestock before, and it kind of seems counterproductive. It kind of seems foolish. I mean, after all, what livestock in their right mind would leave a lush, rich, green, resource, abundant, rich pasture, pen, whatever, to go live over in a dry, desolate, resourceless place I mean, what livestock in their right mind would do that, right? But it happens. Why? Because it's familiar and it's comfortable. All right, well, how about this? Pastor Seth, who in their right mind, what Christian would leave stuff like this? This is all the good stuff, right? The good stuff, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, daily renewal in Jesus. Who would leave that to live the other side? Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, idolatry, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, and the list goes on. Who would do that? But if we're really being honest with ourselves, and if I'm being honest with myself tonight too, the answer is I, as a Christ follower, sometimes struggle with that. We as Christians sometimes struggle with that. For as much as we want to leave, as much as we want to live the other side, we kind of flip-flop those, don't we? So let me ask you once again, tonight, where is the Holy Spirit challenging you to step away from all too familiar and comfortable habits and behaviors, or maybe areas of sin, struggle, challenge, to live the new life that God is calling us to in Jesus Christ? Where do you feel that struggle? Where do you feel that challenge tonight? And even if you don't, maybe this week God will lay something on your heart with regards to that. Well, tonight, friends, I have good news. Our good and gracious God doesn't do to us what every other world religion or would-be Messiah or Savior or idol figure does to their subscribers and just point to better pastures and say, well, good luck. I hope you get there. I hope it works out. As long as you do everything you can do to get there, I hope you make it. God doesn't do that to us. Why? Because God is a people mover, and God is in the gospel business. God moves us from death to life, and he does it through Jesus Christ and in our baptism. Let me share this with you once again. Colossians 3, 1-4 and verses 10-11. Paul writes this, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. You have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge, in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Amen? Yeah, amen. God doesn't leave us high and dry in the desolate, resourceless places that we've so oftentimes brought ourselves back to. But God in his grace takes us where? Over here to a place of life. And where does that happen in the church? It happens right here in your baptism. We talked about this today, this morning, with all of our kiddos in chapel from the daycare. And we talked about what God does for us in baptism. He brings us from death to life, from hopeless to hopeful, from failing to forgiven, from comfortable to cross-cultured. And if that wasn't enough, friends, God comes to us tonight with the body and blood of Christ and the bread and the wine for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. Friends, this week, remember that God comes to us out of grace and with the promise for strength in time of need. Is it any wonder that we find Jesus saying this in John chapter 10, verses 10-11? I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. Our Lord Jesus says this to you and to me tonight, and to all those times when we find ourselves in a dry and desolate place. He says this, I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. I am your good shepherd. Jesus moves you from death to life. Friends, let's live the new life. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for moving us from dry and desolate places, wilderness places where we've oftentimes intentionally wandered because we thought we knew best. Thank you for moving us from those places to greener, richer pastures, places of rest and healing, forgiveness and grace, hope because of Jesus. We recognize that we don't have to buy that. We don't have to work our way towards that. We don't have to earn that from you. But because of who you are and your love for us, you come to us and you meet us every day with what you know we need. This week, as we go out, we find ourselves wanting to go back to places of former struggles, familiarity, and comfort. Keep us firmly planted in the new life in Jesus. And as you see fit to help us to share that with others at our homes, places of work, our neighborhoods, help us to share our hope. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.